Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, that was the beautiful River Flows In You by Yiruma. What a beautiful piece of music. And that kicks us off, doesn't it, into a short period of just reflecting on that really interesting interview with Rachel. And I think one of the things that sticks with me after that interview is how much we returned again and again to early experiences and the impact those early experiences had on Rachel, but also, more importantly, has on all of us. And I do get it, you know. I really do get it, that the idea that we're not independently deciding our behaviors and acting on free will all the moment and all the time is a little bit disconcerting, isn't it? I do get that. But in a lifetime spent helping people understand themselves and change things in their lives or their relationships or their health or their work, in all of that time, I have found myself returning again and again to one of the most fundamental concepts in transactional analysis called script. And I'm going to give you a mini teach on script. Script really explains just why it is we sometimes find ourselves doing the same old that we really don't like ourselves doing, and how we often end up in situations that are unpleasant, but actually have a strangely familiar ring to them. Yeah. I think the most comic expression of that is different partner, same relationship. That would be a very good expression of that. So what we're looking at here is a concept called script. Now, this goes right back to Freud. It goes all the way back to Freud. Freud noticed in his work that people repeat certain patterns of behavior. And I'm sure if you think about it, you can think of not only in your own life, but in other people's lives, how people seem to keep repeating the same old, even though they or we know it doesn't work. Here we are again. And Freud called this the repetitive compulsion, like we have a compulsion to repeat. And Eric Byrne, who started life very much as a Freudian, but then developed a much more accessible approach to psychoanalysis and psychotherapy, he reframed a lot of what Freud said in some very clear and concise ways. And what he said was, really what happens is when we're very, very little and very young, we develop certain patterns of survival based on the situation we find ourselves in. Now, no two babies find themselves in exactly the same situation. Even in families at birth and in during gestation and during the pregnancy, the birth is different, the pregnancy is different, and very often the early years are different. You know, the first child has a different experience from the second child, and so on and so forth. And what Byrne said is that basically we have a very early decisional element within us, a survivor, if you like. And you see this in babies, but they come up with sort of solutions, not consciously thought out like you and I would, but very, very early. And these solutions develop and get reinforced through life. And Byrne said they really end up being like scripts that have almost three acts, like a play in a theater, you know, a first act, a second act, and a third act. And what he said was, is you don't really, really know what a script is until you visit the cemeteries and you see written on the tombstones of people how their life ended and also how their life was lived. Obituaries, if you like. And I'm very fond of telling the story of the Nobel Peace Prize by Alfred Nobel. Did you know that his determination to set aside large sums of money for philanthropy, for good, for rewarding good behavior, all came about because he was in Paris and he was trundling down a pavement and he sat in his favorite cafe to have his favorite morning cafe au lait or whatever it was he was drinking, opened up the newspaper, and the newspaper had mistakenly printed his obituary. So he's sitting there on a Sunday or Saturday morning, opening up his newspaper, and he reads that he's dead. It's a mild shock, to say the least. Anyway, he read his obituary, and that obituary was not very nice. The obituary, mistakenly put in by the newspaper, the obituary said, "The Merchant of Death is dead," I think is what the title of the newspaper heading said. "The Merchant of Death is dead." And this was because Alfred Nobel made all his wealth and money from the production of dynamite and TNT and explosives, which actually became the tool for armies and everything like that. This is in the 19th century, and wars were already becoming, you know, even more horrendous than they had been, you know, because of the introduction of the cannon and the gunpowder and all of that stuff. And much of that was from Alfred Nobel. And he was so shocked. He kind of got this preview of his own tombstone or his own obituary. And what happened to Alfred Nobel was he was so shocked at seeing his script that he decided there and then to turn his life around towards philanthropy, hence the Nobel Peace Prize. Not many people are aware of this backstory to the Nobel Peace Prize, especially not in terms of the psychology and our script. So what we have is a definition of script that Eric Byrne, the founder of transactional analysis, came up with, and I'm going to read that out to you. He said the script was an unconscious life plan made in childhood, reinforced by the parents, justified by subsequent events. And that comes from what I think was his very best book, which is What Do You Say After You Say Hello? And to be honest, if there's any book about TA you want to read, that's the one I would recommend. What Do You Say After You Say Hello? It's a brilliant, bright, sparkling book full of all sorts of examples. And although it is of its time in the 70s, it's my desert island book, I'm afraid. So I guess I'm a bit of a geek in that way, a psychology geek. Anyway, so what a script explains is it explains why things don't always seem to work out. Because remember, the first part of that definition is that it is an unconscious life plan. And the great thing about that is if we become conscious of it and we become aware of it, we can actually change it, just as Alfred Nobel changed it for himself. So it's an unconscious life plan, and that it's made in childhood. And as I suggested early on, really, that very first experience of life, the being carried in the womb, the birth, the very first year of life, all the research is showing that that really has more and more impact on us. So this life plan is unconscious, partly because it is made as a survival behavior in our very early childhood. And that includes what happened to our mothers while they were carrying us in the womb, how the birth was, how the first year. We kind of had very little conscious thought. We didn't understand words, but we instinctively start to form a pattern of behavior and survival. And in these early years, there's almost like a protocol set out, that there's an early script protocol. It's not like a verbal thing. It's an instinct. It's a very early layer. And then it becomes reinforced by our parents. And very often, what our parents do is they share their best survival strategies, sometimes by words and more often by behavior. So we get our survival strategies, our life plan, our repetitive compulsion. We build that up, and it's now becoming very, very unconscious. It's just a habit. And then as we go through life, because of our behaviors and our life plan and the way we're operating, we tend to get the same results over and over again. So there you have probably a very condensed but succinct definition of script, which is an unconscious life plan made in childhood, reinforced by the parents, and justified by subsequent events. And that is how today we think about why life doesn't work out. But, you know, these days, it's not the only way that we talk about this, because long time ago in history, the Greeks sort of tried to explain this by using their mythologies of gods, you know, and the gods were often not very nice. You know, the very stories of the gods are full of quite malicious supernatural powers that are stopping us from living our life. And some of the stories of the gods, you think of the myth of Sisyphus, for example. You know, here was someone who dared to be a god, and his punishment was to push a stone up the hill, but never, ever reach the top of the hill. So he would get close to the top, and then the stone would roll down again. And a Sisyphus life script is one where we keep trying, we keep trying, we keep trying, but we never quite make it. I wonder if you can relate to that or know people who seem to live their lives out like that. Another frustrating life script would be the story of Tantalus. You know, the Greek story of Tantalus was that Tantalus, you know, for punishment, was stuck in a pond where he couldn't drink the water. Every time he leaned forward to drink the water when he was thirsty, it just went away. And food was displayed for him, but he couldn't reach it. So this eternal sort of frustration, and so on and so forth. In the Middle Ages, in the more common culture, we have fairy tales. And fairy tales are really the Greek myths of the people. And some of the fairy tales are very, very old. And these were stories that traveling storytellers would travel from village to village and sit around the village fire and tell these stories. And they kind of expressed the psyche, the archetypes, and the psychological structure of the people. If you didn't tell a story that resonated for people, you weren't invited back. No grub, no clothing. It was a tough time for storytellers. So the fairy tale stories actually speak of life scripts. And again, the forces that, as it were, stop us from living the life that we really dream of and wish for are reflected in like malicious witches and ogres and malevolent stepmothers, just like the Greeks had their malevolent gods, you know, who were punishing the people. So the fairy tales have all sorts of characters that get in the way. And if we think about a life script, like say the Ugly Duckling, you know, that would be it's a more modern fairy tale, but Hans Christian Andersen grew up in a very traditional culture and actually described the Ugly Duckling story as not only a story that was based on, you know, his experiences of hearing these ancient fairy tales, but he actually described it as his autobiography. The story of the Ugly Duckling is a perfect example of a life script. It's a very good one, actually, in the end. But think about it. He's abandoned by his real parents and he's brought up by ducks. He's a swan, of course. He's not a duck at all. So the Ugly Duckling grows up being told all sorts of negative messages. He's not quite right. He doesn't look right. You know, and he has to try and fit in as a duck, you know, but as a young cygnet, he's just going to struggle with that. So the Ugly Duckling ends up, when he grows up and leaves the duckling home, as it were, when he goes out into the real world, he's still operating according to a script that says he doesn't belong, he's not right, and he's got everything wrong with him. And guess what happens to him? Everywhere he goes, he gets rejected. Guess what that does? It reinforces his belief that he's not right. And it's only at the very end of the story, when a swan flies by or a bunch of swans fly by, depending on which story you read, and they go, oh, you know, why don't you come fly with us? And the Ugly Duckling says, what do you mean? I'm a duck. You know? And then the swan says, look at yourself in the water. And he sees the mirror and he sees who he really is. And he flies away with the other swans. And I love that story because psychologically it tells us that, you know, what happened to us has a massive impact. Our behavior reinforces it. We're actually the creator of our own disasters. And so analyzing that and understanding that and then working out what our scripts are about and why they developed, because all our scripts weren't developed by malicious gods or anything. They were developed by us in order to adapt to a situation when we are utterly powerless as babies. So script is one of these ideas that we get caught up in repetitive patterns. And that's why you need an outsider. to help you with this. It's not because you're incapable. It's not because you're somehow weak. It's not because you're somehow, you know, failing in your life. It's just that we are locked into our own scripts. We see the world through these scripts. So how on earth are we going to completely understand this from our own perspective? No, we need someone locked in another script that is different from ours, so they're not susceptible to the influences that we had. So it becomes very important to get that help, because otherwise we're locked into what we call our own frame of reference, and we filter out anything that doesn't fit in with our script. This is the most important thing to understand, is that the script we're living under, and we're all living under our own scripts, that we filter out anything that does not fit with that script belief or that script behavior. And so we don't really see anything that challenges our script. And that's why going to see a therapist or a counselor or a coach can be quite challenging, because we're kind of going, let's have a look at that from a different perspective. And it's that difference of perspective that really can make it hard work. But there's nothing wrong with going to see someone who's going to, as it were, reflect back to you your own beliefs and behavior from a different perspective. That's probably one of the best definitions of therapy I can come up with. And all the way through these radio programs, you can see this. You can see the history. It's why I love to go back and find out where people came from, where their ancestors came from, because these scripts, they do pass down generations with variation. There are all sorts of variations, which led Eric Byrne to suggest that we're not just receiving script, that we're engaging in its creation, even from a very early age. And, you know, if it's a story or a script that we wrote and we're following, then we can write another one. And that is the basis of probably all of my work. Well, I hope you found that interesting. We're going to move on to Music with Meaning. And to get us in the groove, for Rachel to come back and share her life in 7 tracks of music and why they're so important to her, let's get ourselves into the mood with the Doobie Brothers and listen to the music.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.